Start by praising Allah. We seek His help and His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our bad deeds. And whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And who Allah leaves astray, surely no one can guide. I bear witness there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is one, who has no partners, no father, no son. I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. It's hard to follow up a beautiful talk like that. My brother Abu Asama, from not too far from me in London, stays in Birmingham, mashallah. I want to thank the organizers for inviting me here to speak to you today and to share my story and my journey to Islam. It's my first visit to Canada, so I'll go back and share my story. The truth is, often people ask me, like, what made you convert to Islam? What was the journey like? The former rapper who became a Muslim and now he stands on the stage and everything's fine. And a lot of youngsters inbox me on the internet and say, oh, how can I become like you? What was your journey? How did you come away from etc. and stuff you done before? The truth is, the journey is still going on now. The journey is continuing and will continue until I get to the grave. For me, it really feels like my journey started that day I took my Shahada in 2002. Because as you know, Allah tests those who He loves. And Shaitan made that vow to attack the believers, those on the straight path, from left and right, above and below. So the journey continues for all of us. Alhamdulillah, brother was talking about our role model. A beautiful role model, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody I knew nothing about when I was growing up. My early years of my life, before I was a Muslim, without having this role model, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I feel like I was lost in this world. Completely lost. Not knowing what you're living for. Why are you here? Where do you come from? Where do you go after you die? I was lost. My mother didn't know what she was living for either, so she was lost and she couldn't teach me. My father doesn't know what he was living for either, so he was lost and he couldn't teach me. None of them could be my true guider. No, none of them could give me guidance because they needed guidance themselves. So we were all lost. All in search of happiness, but looking for happiness in the wrong areas. When you're young, you see this world as like a playground, and you just want to have fun. By doing fun things and playing games, this is what you find, this is what makes you happy. And you just want to have fun. For me, living in a house with Jamaican parents, my father left my mum when I was 4 years old, on an estate that was governed by the council, which was for all the poor people. Growing up broke, not with much money, I felt like in order for me to find this happiness and my mum to find this happiness was by having money, by having wealth. You know, when every day your mum comes home from work and she's slamming the cupboards, she's sad, she's upset because the lack of wealth, the lack of money. It affects you as a young man. When the door knocks and you go to answer the door and your mum calls you, stop, no, 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 shh, don't answer the door. Come, hide. And you're hiding behind this sofa. And you're looking at your mum like, why are we hiding for? Why can't I answer the door? No, we owe that man money. So we got to hide. So we're waiting there. But alhamdulillah, mum used to turn these things into a game and make them seem fun. But as I got older, the reality hit me what was really going on and what we was really going through. The struggle. Now I understand why when I used to turn and look at my mum and say, I want new trainers. People will respect me more if I have Nike trainers. I want that respect from my friends. And mum used to turn and say, no. Now I understand why she used to say no. So as a youngster, you just feel like, why are we so broke? Why are we so poor? Why do I have to go next door to my neighbor's house with a container and say, "Hi, Miss Rose, my mum said, have you got any juice, please? Or my mum said, have you got any flour? Or my mum said, have you got any sugar? Why can't I just go to the shop with money and just buy some?" Because of the problem of money. And mum used to drink a lot. And these things, because we try to escape the reality. We don't want to think. And like Malcolm X says, we need to learn how to think. We don't want to think. Because when we think too much, it's like the reality kicks in. So we try and escape the reality by drinking and smoking, etc. And I just remember being a youngster just thinking, if we've got money, if we have money, everything will be okay. And my mum used to look at me when I was like 11 years old, 12 years old, and say, "You're the man of the house. You're the man of the house. You have to make it for us, son. Your dad's gone now. It's all about you." Because it was me, my mum, and my older sister. Said, "You're the man of the house." And our escape from this problem was music. I remember we used to play music on a Sunday while mum's cleaning up the house. And this was the only time when we wasn't sad. It's like the music used to make us feel happy and make us forget our problems. I remember just listening to that music. And my mum would be singing along, dancing to the reggae. And that was my job to do the polishing, my sister's job to do the hoovering. And it was just like love was in the house. The music was the escape. And talking about role models, obviously I didn't have one. And like I said, I didn't know Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam existed. I didn't know any Muslims. So what we do is we tend to, as youngsters, choose our role models from the people around us. Like every single one of us is a shepherd. And each shepherd is responsible for his flock. And believe me, there's somebody who looks up to you. Whether it's someone in your school and you're only young, there's someone in your school who looks up to you, or someone in your area who looks up to you. And what I used to do is I used to take the people in my area as my role models, the people who looked like they had the best lives. And it was the criminals, the ones who was involved in crime, as they're the ones who had money. They're the ones who could afford a nice car and jewelry. And women used to show them so much attention because of the assets and the materials they have. So I thought, I want to be like them because I want that attention. That attention will make me happy and that will make my life complete. And if I didn't pick the role models from the people around me, it will be the people I see on the television. Like the Sheikh said, we're victims of the media. And what I used to watch on TV was like MTV, the music channels. These music stars looked like they had the best life to me. They didn't have the problems we had. They didn't struggle like we did. Their trainers, everything just always looked so fresh and so new in their music videos. Everything looked so crisp and complete, and their houses looked so big, and they were always smiling, and there was always women surrounding them. This is how I wanted to live. I remember I used to have my role models was people like Jay-Z and Nas. Come on, you're young and you're looking at these rap stars on TV and they're driving sports cars, looking at each other. I remember Jay-Z and Jermaine Dupri in this video. And he's going, "Yeah, I got Ferrari and Jaguar switching four lanes, top down screaming out, money ain't a thing, hey." And I'm looking at him with my little young eyes just thinking, wow, Ferraris, Jaguars, money ain't a thing. One day I'm going to rap, I'm going to make money like that, buy mom a big house. Everything's going to be fine. So this is what I got into. I got into music. And I was living the dream, fulfilling the dream, and things were going well for me. However, when I got to about 17, 18, I realized that no matter, although I don't have the problems I used to have when I was young, and money's coming in now, I still got problems. And the reality hits. There comes a stage in your life where an event takes place, whether it's a loss, it could be an argument, it could be something big or something small. But we all go through this event in our lives where the reality hits us and we start to question our existence. Whether we're born Muslim or non-Muslim, etc., the first stage in our life was ignorance, not knowing. And then that event takes place and the next stage is exploring, questioning. Why am I here? What is this really about? And that's when I realized even the rap stars I was looking up to, they didn't even know what they was living for either. That same rapper, Jay-Z, who was talking about Ferraris and Jaguars, switching four lanes, top down, money ain't a thing, hey. He had another song saying, This can't be life. This can't be right. There's gotta be more. This can't be life. Questioning life. So the reality is, these people ain't even happy and content. They don't even know what they're living for. And I remember, this event took place in my life that made me start to question and explore when I was 19 years old. I remember I was in the studio, smoking, video games, music playing, writing lyrics, the things that we as youngsters think we do to enjoy ourselves. We was doing this, and a Muslim came into the room. And this Muslim come in and he's like, turn down the music, 5 minutes, please. Because his younger brother is someone who I used to own this studio with. So we come in and he said to his younger brother, turn down the music, 5 minutes, please, please. And he left the room. I was thinking, whoa, okay. He came back a few hours later, turn down the music, 5 minutes, please. Back then, I didn't know what he was doing. But now I know what he was doing. Turns out one day he come into the room and he just wanted to speak with us. He just wanted to share the knowledge that was in his head with us. And because he saw us as youngsters, like lost how he was before he found this perfection, this perfect religion that he had found. So he came in the room and he was talking to us. And I remember I was watching an awards show, a music awards show. And a group that lived not far from us just won an award. And I remember they go up and they were like, and the award goes to, and they said the group's name. And they came out of the crowd, they went up on the stage, they had all this jewelry, and they had drinks, champagne, and they were like, thank you for this award. I just want to thank my area and thank this one. And they got their award. And we was watching it jealous, like thinking one day, we need to work hard this year, so that next year, we can get that award. And I remember it made me feel like, is that what you're preparing yourself for? You're going to work really hard so that next year you can get that award. And it's like he broke it down for me like, well, what he's doing is, he's working really hard for a bigger award than that. I remember he asked one of us, what is the purpose of your life? Is this what your life is about? What is the purpose of your life? And imagine you're a young boy and you're trying to answer this question, like, what is the purpose of life? The young boy's sitting there like, my purpose of life, I don't know. And this boy's confident. He usually speaks with confidence and knows the answer to everything. So what is the purpose of your life? I don't know, like just to live life, just be good to your family. I don't know. He said, where do you come from? Why are you here and where are you going after you die? I'm thinking I come from my mum and my dad. I'm here to live. And after I die, I'll be in the grave. It will be black. You won't even know what happens. I remember always saying that I don't care about death because you won't know. You'll just be dead. Just like it was before you was born, it will be back like that again. However, this is not the case. So, he's explained, you come from a creator, a God, creator of the worlds. This is where we come from. And I believed in God. Anyone with common sense and an open mind that just looks outside or looks at the human body would know there is a God. So I always believed in God anyway. So he said, you are here to impress that God, to live a life that is pleasing to that God. Because after you die, you're going to return to that God and you're going to be judged on everything you've done while you was here. What you've done in public, what you've done in private, in secret. Everything you do while you're here is being taken down, being noted down, and you're going to be judged. So what you've got to do while you're here is make sure you do all the things that are pleasing to that God, and that God will be impressed by, so that after you die and you return to Him, you can be awarded. So instead of working hard for that music show award, that next year they call out your name, you should work hard so that you get a bigger award on that big day, when it won't just be a few thousand people watching on TV, but it'll be the whole of mankind. Bob Marley, Elvis Presley, the whole of mankind will be there. Imagine your name getting called out on that day. Come up for your reward today. So this is was something more sense to work for. And starting to understand my purpose in life. For the first time, it's like I got that piece of the puzzle to answer questions like, why are we here? Because it never made sense before. We just live and die, is that it? So I started to realize, wait, there is a purpose. This makes sense. So I wanted to go to the bookshop with him and read more books, more literature. so I could have the sort of mind that he had. I wanted to go back to my area and start asking all the young kids, yo, what is your purpose of life? Where'd you come from? Why are you here? Where are you going? I wanted to, like, this seemed like very focused. I went to the bookshop and I said, what book should I buy? The Quran. He said, no, this is too much for you, the Quran. Try this book, The Truth for the Life of This World by Harun Yahya. So I took this book and the man said to me, now you're taking these steps towards Islam, towards Allah. Allah's going to come running to you. I didn't know what he meant, I'll be honest. But over them days, I started to realize what he meant. The way Allah came into my life from every angle. And before, I had no idea what Islam was. I mean, if when I was in school, if the teacher picked me out, my name before I was a Muslim was Ashley Chin. And I'm still addressed by this name, Ashley. But if the teacher said, Ashley, tell us, what do you know about Islam? I'm being honest, I would have said, is that a country near Pakistan? I didn't have no knowledge on Islam. So now, Islam was coming to me from every angle. And I started to find out what it was. And it was upon finding out what a Muslim is that made me think, I want to take my shahada and become a Muslim. I didn't need no scientific facts. I didn't need no more dawah. That one day in the room, that was it. I didn't need loads of Muslims to take me to the mosque and to show me around. I didn't need loads of Muslims to talk to me and give me loads of different books. It was one translation of what a Muslim is. One who surrenders themselves to Allah. Who is Allah? Allah is the creator of the worlds. One who surrenders themselves to the creator of the worlds. One who submits to God's will. It was upon understanding that's what a Muslim is. I thought, well, if that's what a Muslim is, then everyone has to be a Muslim. What choice do we have? If God created the heavens and the earth, then everyone has to submit to God. We don't have no choice in this matter. It's not a decision we can think about and go, I'm not sure if I want to be a Muslim or not. It's as simple as my mum created me, and when I'm young and my mum used to call me and tell me to do something, like go next door and ask to borrow some sugar, I didn't want to go. I would much rather stay in my room and play my computer. But if mum tells me to go next door and ask to borrow sugar, then I'm going to listen to mum, because that's mum. And that's normal. And mum made me. I came from her. She made me. So I have to do what she tells me to do. And that's normality. Well, if God made my mum and made everything in this dunya and everything in this world, Allah, the creator, then I have to do what he tells me to do. I don't feel like I have any option. It should be normal. However, I was scared to become a Muslim. Because when I started speaking about my decision to Muslims, the Muslims scared me. And this is why it's important that we know we have the best of role models, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we learn and understand his character and we try and adopt it. Because the Muslims scared me. Like the Sheikh was saying, if you came to them too harsh, they would have all ran away. Well, I started running away. When everyone was just telling me the rules, well, you want to become a Muslim, you know all this music, this studio, you can't do that no more. And you know all this stuff that you're doing to make money, you can't do that no more. And you know nightclubs, you can't do that no more. I'm saying, well, if I only go out, I won't drink. No, it doesn't matter. What if I only go out with my friends to celebrate their birthday? No birthdays no more. Everything is just not allowed no more. Furthermore, you can't even mix with the opposite sex no more. You can't even eat that McDonald's at the top of the road no more. Everything has to change. I was scared. This was too early to tell me all these rules. I said, the truth is, I felt like if I become a Muslim now, I'll be the worst Muslim, because there's no way I could do all of that. So I don't want to be the worst Muslim. So maybe I'll wait until I'm 40 years old, when I've lived my life, I've done what I need to do, I'll become a Muslim then. And this is a problem we have as youngsters. We delay things. We don't hasten towards good deeds. We delay it. We think after, we plan as if we've been promised a certain amount of time. So many people say things like, after university, I'm going to do this. After I get married, then I'm going to cover. After I do this, then I'm going to that. After this, these days are not promised to us. We need to be the youth, the one who practices Islam from a young age, the one who hastens towards good deeds, doesn't find no time to delay it, hastens towards good deeds. So anyway, It was the fear of death, of dying, not in the state of Islam, that made me speed up my decision. People around me was dying. I remember having a conversation with someone in a barbershop, and he was telling me about someone who died. He said, our friend from the other area died not long ago. I couldn't believe the news. He said, I was speaking to him just 2 days before he died. And 2 days later, I found out he was dead. Imagine that. He said, that's like me and you speaking now, and 2 days later, you find out I'm dead. Life is too short. He says, I'm a good singer. Take my number. Bring me to the studio with you. I want to make things happen. Life is too short. I want to come studio with you. I want to start singing. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to have money like this by next year. And he picked a newspaper up and he said, look at this new car. There were some new cars in the newspaper. We need to have this soon. Take my number. Call me. Life is too short. We have to get things going. I got plans. A couple days later, I went to my studio. I was about to tell them, the guy who I saw is a good singer and he wants to come to the studio and make some tracks. But the mood in the studio was very quiet. No one wasn't speaking. So I said, what's wrong? Why isn't no one speaking? What's the matter? He said, one of the rappers in my team said to me, have you not heard? Such and such got shot in the head today in a barbershop. This is the same guy I was about to tell them about. I'm thinking to myself, I couldn't even say it. But I was speaking to him 2 days ago and he actually said to me, imagine you heard I died 2 days' time. And I heard he died. Death comes unexpectedly with no warning. And this is what scared me. I remember having a dream that I got shot myself. And when you grow up in a certain environment, people are getting killed so often. I remember thinking I'm gonna die soon. And in this dream, I was telling the paramedics, take me to the hospital. They were saying, we got to go to the hospital. Stop trying to get up. But I kept trying to get up. And they were pushing me back down, saying, we'll be at the hospital soon. I said, no. I need to go to the brother's house. I don't care if I die. As long as I die, I'm Muslim. I need to become a Muslim before I die. There's no way I can die without being a Muslim first. And it was that fear. When I woke up from this dream, I thought it was so real. And when I woke up, I was all hot. You know, you get all hot and emotional and sweating. And you think it was so real. And I woke up. And I was like, oh, it wasn't real. Is this a dream? But I took the signs from it. And I thought, I need to go and see the brother and tell him about this. And tell him I want to take my shahada. And that's what this life is like. When we're in it now, Shaitan makes us distracted with this world, with this dunya. And we get so excited and so emotional. And we think everything matters. And everything's got to be perfect. And we think of this big fairy tale. And how it's got to be in this life, in this world. But then we're going to die. And when we go to the grave, and the angels ask us, how long was we here in this life? We say a day or part of a day and that's it. This life is nothing. So it's upon the understanding that this life is nothing. It doesn't matter. It's nothing. That I made the decision. Do you know what? It doesn't really matter if I achieve my dreams and fulfill all my goals. All that matters is that I die in a state of submission. I'm ready to take my shahada now and start the struggle, the battle. I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm ready to start the battle. As long as I die trying. So I told him, let's go. And he took me to the brother's house to take shahada because the mosque was closed. And when I got there, the first thing I remember, we were sitting on the floor. I thought, wow, Muslims are broke. They don't have no money. This is going to be a whole new experience for me. Everyone was sitting on the floor. And next thing I noticed, they said, are you ready to eat some food? I said, yeah, I could eat, yeah, no problem. I wanted to be polite, let's eat. He brought out a big tray of food and he put it on the floor. And everyone just was ready to start eating. But all the food was on one tray and the man beside me was like, come on, brother, eat, eat, eat. I just remember thinking, where is my plate? Like, how am I going to eat from this big, what am I going to do, share with you? I don't even know you. And this guy beside me is eating with his hands and he's like, whole hands in the plate. And then he's putting his whole hand back in the plate. So I was thinking, whoa, this is barbaric. I can't share. I can't share like this, surely. However, the longer we continued to eat, it's like I noticed a togetherness that we had and a closeness. We're all so close around this tray. Our heads are just like this close to each other and we're just tucking into this meal. But the truth is, this is a closeness. I'm sharing with people I just met that I never shared with my friends that I had for 15, 16 years. I just moved to Kuwait last year. And I remember nearly every day I was eating with different families in Kuwait. And I got emotional once. Because I just started thinking to myself, I don't remember ever eating with my own family. But I'm always eating with these people's families. And look how close the families are. You see, Islam didn't teach me like just how to pray or how to say salam alaikum. It taught me like so much, like a family unit. How to deal with your family. How to deal with your neighbors. The manners, the character of the human being. Your principles. You have to live by principles. Your organization. All these sort of things. Because I felt like when I was growing up, we didn't have no organization. No principles, no togetherness. So, we ate this food. And then after we finished eating, I remember I got up, I took my shahada, and I saw the look in their faces, and it was just like, wow. And the brothers came to me, and they was hugging me. And in London, men never hug men. So this was just a whole new experience. Hugging in men, kisses on the cheek. It was beautiful, to be honest. I felt love. And the journey started after that. On the way home, the brother said, do you feel different? I said, yeah, I feel different. I didn't want to tell my mum I took my shahada. I was shy, I was nervous. And the brother said, don't feel that you have to. Because they're going to ask you so much questions. Why are you a Muslim? Are you a Muslim? What do Muslims think of this? Why do Muslims cut off arms? Why do Muslim women wear cover like that? Why are the Muslims allowed to have 10 wives? Why are Muslims... And you're not going to know the answer and how to answer them. So they're going to question you so much till you question yourself. And you're going to think, maybe I made a bad decision. So keep it secret. So keeping it secret, I was shy. And I remember praying. I didn't even want to pray in my house. I was scared my mum was going to call me while I'm praying. And my mum's going to call me and call me because she likes to call me to do things. A lot of mums are like this. And I'll be praying, I won't be able to answer. So then eventually mum will come upstairs and look at me standing there like this and think, what is he doing? And she'll put her hand in front of me, pushing me, and I'll just be like, I can't stop praying, I can't stop. So I didn't want to pray. I used to wait till mum goes out, but mum hardly ever goes out. If she needed something, she told me to go get it. So I had to pray in the bathroom. I thought, yeah, I go in the toilet. Mum will think I'm on the toilet. I pray there. She'll never call me when I'm in the bathroom. And this is why it's important to seek knowledge. And when I took my shahada, the brother said to me, there's conditions of the shahada. And often, more Muslims say to me, I envy you reverts or converts. You take this religion so seriously. And, you know, we was born with it. And it's like we don't cherish it and we don't value it. I understand this to an extent. But I also have sympathy for the born Muslims that you also were born in ignorance and didn't know much. And it was that stage in your life where you kind of like renewed your faith. But it was because when I took my shahada as a revert, you get told these conditions of your shahada. Conditions is like seek knowledge, be certain, accept the knowledge you're taking, submission, submit fully. There were seven. I remember the last one the brother said to me was, love what Allah loves and hate what Allah hates. So the first one being seek knowledge, I had to go back to those classes every week. And I remember the first class, the man was talking about the prayer and make sure that the place of prayer is clean and that you're facing the right direction and that you're not eating and that you're in the proper clothing and that you're not praying in the forbidden places like the graveyard or the toilet. And I was sitting there thinking, wow, that's a whole week's worth of prayers just invalid. But this is the importance. You can't compare the knowledgeable with the unknowledgeable. So this is why it's important. When you see someone doing wrong, you don't just drill down their throat. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Look what you're doing wrong. You're not allowed to do this. You can't compare the knowledgeable with the unknowledgeable. You know, they learned faith first. And then they learned, then the commands came. So it's better to build up the faith. So by seeking knowledge, the faith was building up. And the more the faith built up, is the more I understood. And with understanding, then you feel like it was easier to follow the rules. So this was like the system. Because when the more you understand this life and the value of this life, it was easier to follow the rules. And I remember making a decision that the UK, the West, it's like I was allowing the fitna in my heart. All the things I desired, like music and everything I wanted, everything I grew up around was entering my heart. It was fitna. So I had to leave. And I got a teacher, and the teacher was Egyptian, and he said to me, why don't you go to Egypt? So I went to Egypt when I was 21 by myself to study there. And this was a whole new experience. And it was upon my return from Egypt that before it was hard for me to leave music, I'll be honest, I couldn't stop. But in Egypt, and even in, because in the UK, the music's everywhere. I go in the barber shop, new music's playing. I go in the food shop, new music's playing. You get in your friend's car, new music's playing. So I kind of needed to get it out of my system because I loved music. My dad was a musician. My mum was a singer. My granddad plays the saxophone. My sister was a DJ. I come from a full music household. So I left, I went to Egypt, and alhamdulillah, this helped me get over my music, like, obsession. Because the music there, even though there was music in a lot of places in Egypt, it was different. It was like some, ya Habibi, ya, da, da. It didn't really affect me. It didn't have that same, I didn't have that love for that music. It was just Habibi, Habibi, Habibti, like, it was just, nah. Every song sounded the same, so I wasn't really interested. So alhamdulillah, I came back to the UK, and they said, oh, you stopped rapping and stuff, mashallah. And I remember the teacher saying, some youngsters in the mosque, to end my story, was like, do a rap, do a rap. And they were the imam's children. I said, no, I can't do a rap. We're in the mosque. Stop trying to embarrass me. You're coming up to me, telling me to do a rap. These people don't know I'm a rapper. They're exposing me. I was like, come, do a rap, man. I said, you recite some Quran for me. And they recited Quran. I remember seeing the youngster, well, shamsi wa dumha, well, look at it. Like, the young people have got beautiful voices, mashallah. And then I'll go, you do it now. And it was like, do you know that surah? I goes, nah, I don't even know it. I need to learn it, though. And he's like, man, that's in Juz Amma. My little brother knows it. He's 5. I was like, wow. And that's when I realized, I went to a talk the first day after. And you know, sometimes you go to a talk and you feel like that imam is talking directly to you. I felt like he was talking to me. He was like, how much Quran do you know? How much Quran do you know? You'll be questioned about how much Quran have you memorized. Most of you youngsters are hafiz of Eminem's album, hafiz of Nas' album. But how much Quran do you know? You know all these songs. If you play these songs, these rap songs in your cars, you can rap along to every word. Put the Quran on. Can you recite along with every word? And I felt like, wow, he's talking to me. So this is when I realized, you know, I need to stop this and start memorizing the Quran. And as the Sheikh said, it's the best speech. Best speech. A lot of youngsters come to me and say, I want to be a poet. I want to be a spoken word artist. Unfortunately, I don't give them too much enthusiasm. I don't really like, oh, that's great. Because I just think to myself, this is something I was asked to do. It's not a dream. My dream, I would rather be a hafiz of Quran and spend all my time. I don't go to a poet and I say, teach me how to do poetry. But I will travel to the other side of the world and say, teach me Quran. Because this is the beautiful thing. And that's what we need. So anyway, the imam said to me, do some poetry, do some rap in the mosque without no music, because it was Eid and the kids would like to hear some. And I was shy, I was nervous to do it. I was thinking, nah, I don't want to do this in the masjid. This man, I saw some old Somali man in grey beard just looking at me like that with his glasses. I was thinking, he won't understand what I'm saying. This brother's going to stand up halfway through, be like, stuck for a lie, he's rapping in the mosque, what is this? And walk up. Why are you not trying? Is this a joke? I said, no, do it a cappella, no music. You know what to say. So I went out there like this. And alhamdulillah, it kind of worked. I was shocked. The same old Somali brother came up to me after. Everyone was shaking my hand. And I remember he was like, mashallah, very good brother. Do you have this on CD for my children? I was like, no, I haven't got it on CD. But alhamdulillah, from that day, like I said, I never promoted myself or marketed myself to say, this is what I do. I've got a stage name. I remember once in a Q&A, they were like, what made you pick the stage name Muslim Bilal? I was like, this is not a stage name. I don't have a stage name. I took my shahada and the brother said, Bilal is a good name for you. But I didn't know who Bilal was. I didn't know Bilal ibn Rabah at the time. I just took my shahada. So I was like, Bilal, it don't sound like what I want. I want something like Sufyan or Talib or Hamza. These ones sound a bit more, you know, I can pick any name. Like, let me pick. Let me get a book and pick. Like, this was a good moment for me. So he was like, no, Bilal is good for you. Trust me, Bilal. And I was just like, okay, who's Bilal? Tell me about him. And he explained to me who Bilal was and how he called people to success, called people to good work, the call to prayer. He was Mu'adhdhin Rasul, and how his voice was beautiful. I was thinking, wow, okay. And he was a black slave and took Shahada, and he explained the whole story. So I accepted the name, but I said, can I choose another name as well? And he said, yeah, no problem. So he gave me the book, and I was looking through the book, and I remember seeing certain names like I wanted to pick. And then I saw Muslim. So I was questioning, why is Muslim in there? That's not a name. And the brother said, yes, that is a name. This other brother I know is called Islam. It's a name. So I said, all right, I'm going to have that as my name, because I love, it's the best name for me. I was like, I love the meaning. And he was like, yeah, you could be Bilal Muslim. I said, no, Muslim Bilal. And this is the first day, so I took that name. And then after that day, when I done the thing in the masjid, people started asking me, can you come and do this at our university? Can you come and speak at our school? Can you come to our country? Can you come here? Can you come there? I never promoted myself. That's why I always used to say, Allah, if this ain't good for me, take it away from me. If it's good for me, then make it happen. Because I never promoted myself. There's no website saying book me like this or etc. I don't know to this day how people get hold of me. It's just if it's willed, someone will call me and tell me to come. If not, then I won't go. So I'm going to share some of that poetry, that story with you now. Bismillah. You see, I was raised around Guns N' Roses. I got inspired by the story of Moses. I ask Allah to have mercy on this soul of mine. I was surrounded by Guns N' Roses, inspired by the story of Moses. Ask Allah to have mercy on this soul of mine. I find myself in the other side of this world, all for this religion, all for what Allah revealed. You find Bilal in a small flat by myself, Quran in between my knees, books piled up on the shelf. And as I read, memories flash me in my day, everything looks different, so many things have changed. To Bilal now, this world doesn't look the same, all the things I used to like, I can't even like again. All the things I was about, I had to leave behind. Ashley was a little boy, Bilal's the man I had to find. I always knew there'd come a time when I would cross the line. Knew there was a true religion, that religion wasn't mine. They look at me and they say the boy's gone crazy. I gave up so much all for the one that made me. Preparing myself for the angels to come and take me. Take me from this terrible world in which they placed me. And the signs were clear for them as they are for me. But they didn't choose to listen, they didn't choose to see. I see the two paths in front of me so clearly. I choose in the right side, I'm staying on it firmly. Obviously, I'm just another guy from the road, and I find it hard on this path that I chose. But I ain't got a choice, now the realness shows. We all gotta submit, that's just how it goes. It's amazing when I look at where I am today. This and what I was raised amongst, I call this the chosen way. I used to go into my church every Sunday. Mum was cooking rice and peas, listening to reggae. Typical black boy from a typical black household, walking with his jeans low, face like he owned the road. Before there was no hope, I used to make a lot of dough, but ask me about Islam or Allah, I say I don't know. Then a few books, a few months, a lot of reading. A new season, it brings a new way of thinking. I reason with a Muslim, he's speaking, I listen. I smile because of the beauty I found in his religion. This is what was missing, the final piece of the puzzle. It's all starting to make sense now. Before it was all muddled, I was stuck in the jungle, blind like a bat. Now I see quite clear, it's Allah, thank for that. I was on the outside looking in, the ghetto child lingering, thinking, should I take it now? The thoughts were just wavering. Will it make my daddy proud? What am I gonna say to him? Can I go back to my house? Mommy, I'm a Muslim. How's she gonna take it down? How they gonna take it in? Will I end up kicked out? Will I get a kick in? I don't know what to do. I gotta plan my next move. I wanna take Shahada soon, but really gotta think it through. So what's right for me, I have to do. I live for me and not for you. I don't believe that is true. The things I read in the news, it's my choice, I'ma choose. I ain't got nothing to lose. This is the religion, the truth. Read the books, found the proof. I remember Ismail came to me, sat me down and said to me, what's your purpose in life? Could it just like a game to me? And I would think occasionally, Ismail was right. I need to fix up my life. Tonight could be my last night. So just before the summer, year 2002, my mind already had a wonder. Now it's time to make a move. I made my way down to the stews where I link up with my crew. I'm sitting on a single chair, running my fingers through my hair. I said, yo, Ishafil, is your older brother here? Thankfully, he says, yeah, Ismail was downstairs. He'll be up in a minute. He's having a word with his mother. When he comes up, I tell him I want to take my Shahada. He looks at me and smiles. I stand up, receive a hug. He said, I see you as a friend no more. I look you like a bruv. Now I can feel the love, no longer feeling lost. He said, take off your cross and take a drive to New Cross, where I met my uncle Yasser and his brothers from all over. He said, it's time to leave the ghetto life way over your shoulder. So I said, Layla, Hitlallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, there's no true God except Allah. Muhammad is his messenger. And I ain't going church no more, I'm going Juma. I remember Friday at Streatham Mosque, Mumtaz on the khutbah. I wanted to get the front row, I had to get it early. He read the prayer in Arabic, I understood it barely. I really got to learn it quick, I got myself a teacher. And then I went to Egypt so I can learn the language better. I'm feeling all emotional, I wrote my mum a letter. You need your feeling lonely, wanted to find myself a lover. I tried to get married, I suffered a bit of racism. He said she couldn't be with me because my parents were Jamaican. I said, hey, but I still pray and I fast in Ramadan. He said, no daughter of mine will be marrying a black man. I said, okay, cool. I'ma make dua for you. And you know what, brother, just make dua for me too. I'm just happy I'm a Muslim that came from the streets to Islam. The ghetto, now when I see my brother give a palm, embrace with a hug and greet him with salam. Salamu alaikum. I'm a Muslim that came from the streets to Islam. The ghetto, now when I see my brother give a palm, embrace with a hug and greet him with salam. Salamu alaikum. And mum always tried her best to make sure her son was focused. Mum always had a smile no matter how slow I progress. And my mum would always say, that's my son, he's the best. And mum never let me forget that this life was a test. But I was raised in Christianity, I used to go church. Mum would drop me off to school, then she'd rush off to work. And mum saw her son change when I turned 19, but she still loved me the same when I converted to the deen. She'd have started asking questions. Son, why you do that? I say, mum, sit with me, watch a DVD of Ahmed Dida. And slowly but surely, mum would recognize the truth and appreciate the changes that I've made since my youth. But she knew I was flying away, she wanted to spend the day together. This was our moment, we went masjid together. And it was enough to make me smile, look at my mum with a hair cover. And then she broke the news, she wanted to take her shahada. I said, Allahu Akbar. Cause obviously, I love Allah the most in this dunya. And then I love the Prophet and his sunnah. But after my love for Islam, comes a love for my mother, definitely. I love Allah the most in this dunya. And then I love the Prophet and his sunnah. But after my love for Islam, comes a love for my mother. So tell my mother when I die, don't cry. Just pray for me at my janazah, why? I believe in a life that goes on beyond the sky. I'm just trying to get there while I'm here still alive. And yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't think that I would be able to lead the things that I've done before, but I now they see me in the street. They say, Bilal, how's it going? And I reply, Alhamdulillah, it's going fine. The grass is greener on the other side. The women are more cleaner and the men are more polite. I love my new family, I love my new life. See, now I can smile even if I die tonight. But if I die tonight, tell my mother, don't cry. Pray for me at my janazah, why? Cause I believe in a life that goes on beyond the sky. I'm just trying to get there while I'm here still alive. And I am nothing without my religion, without my fear, my faith, or my wisdom. You might see me talking, but is it even worth me living if I ain't got fear or faith or religion? See, it's the end of the beginning. And my soul's been taken, all this time I thought I was winning. Now I'm going through registration. Will my name be called by the one who rolls? Or am I the one who falls face down and bawls and screams and cries? Send me back for another try. Requests denied, access denied. Why can't I see? Where are my eyes? Why can't I speak? Why are my lips sealed, eyes closed? Why am I naked? Where are my clothes? And why are those things that I bought yesterday piled on my back? Could this be what they say will be the day of no turning back? That's why I pray I don't forget what I came for, what I'm made for, what I'm aiming for. I guess we forget our purpose. Are we still lost in a life that's worthless? I guess we forget what we came for, what we're made for, what we're aiming for. I guess we forget our purpose. Are we still lost in a life that's worthless? Brother, do you want for me when you want for yourself? Brother, do you pray Allah gives me strength and health? Or brother, do you forget about me like I'm a star? Brother, do you love for me fi sabilillah? Brother, do you want for me when you want for yourself? Brother, do you pray Allah gives me strength and health? Brother, do you gossip about me like I'm a star? Brother, do you really love me fi sabilillah? Walking with his head down, books under his arm, reciting his favorite words in the Quran. As time goes around so soon, time goes around so soon. Wattini wa zaytun wa turi sinin wa hadha al-baladil amin. Seen from them disbeliever as a stranger, seen as a man that brings terror and danger, but he's just trying to focus on his deen. Head down, trying to focus on his deen. A Muslim Bilal, they call me. Allah bless me with the power they showed me. Use your voice to give da'wah, they told me. Help prepare the ummah for the hour before we. But I can't see what's coming round the corner. I'm not a messenger, I am just a warner. So I leave us with this warning. Today could have been our last morning. If tonight we die, thank you. It's been a pleasure entertaining you. I just hope it benefited you the way it's meant to. I took you on a journey, gave the story of my life. And I may not get to tell this story again after tonight. Because this could be good night, but it's been a good night. And if I pass this test, I say it's been a good life. I'm glad I put things right, I was on a bad path. And now I make ghusl in my bath and wrap my head up with a scarf. I like a nice faux duffer, a sleeveless puffer, and my trousers above the ankles. Problems in this dunya, but I'm seeing the angles clear. I'm in my 10th year. So this is like a 10-year-old inspiring his peers. Should I even be here? We could trade places and you could take the chair. And you don't need to cheer or clap. And please don't compare this to rap, because I am just a speaker. I speak in the language of the youth. I understand them. I've been through what most of them been through. But now I'm on the stage with a different ambition, like Malcolm, a man on the mission, made the transition. Came from the streets to Islam, the ghetto. When I see my brother give a palm, embrace with a hug and greet with salam. Salamu alaikum, like a soldier. Jazakallah khair. Khalas. The brother said, I mentioned I went to Egypt. How was my experience there? Alhamdulillah, there's good and bad everywhere in the world. I went there to try and better my Islam, and I wanted to see the Muslims. Alhamdulillah, I did see the Muslims in Egypt, but I didn't, can't say I actually saw Islam how I wanted to see Islam. There's good and bad everywhere. I think in Egypt, the manners, the Arabs in general, the manners, like as in, they will feed you. Eat, eat, eat. They will give you more and more and more food to your livestock. Come on, this surely this ain't halal, eating this much. So the manners was good. In the people, like, they'll do things for you and help you. However, sadly, a lot of the youth there, they was interested in the wrong things. They'll be like, oh, you're from England. Where your family from? Jamaica. Can you roll a spliff? Can you roll a spliff? Can you rap? Can you do this? Do you know about that? They seem so interested in England and where I'm coming from. And I was so interested in what they had, like what they was born with. Like, there's masjids everywhere. Like, just downstairs, there's a masjid. You just got to go downstairs. That's it. It seemed like this is amazing. But they had it all their life that they didn't really cherish it. And that kind of hurt me. I was thinking, you don't realize what you have. You can stand in prayer and just understand what is being recited. You can just read, pick up that Quran and just read the Arabic. Your mum, your dad, they've all got la ilaha illallah in their heart. You don't understand what you've got. And this was what was frustrating. And this is how kind of my journey started, because I ended up sitting at coffee shops talking to everyone about my journey to Islam and why I came to this country. And it was, this is how it all started in Egypt, to be honest. So, but my overall experience was good. It's beneficial if you want to learn Quran, if you want to learn Arabic. It's beneficial and it's cheap there. A brother asked what brought me to Kuwait. To be honest, I had to leave Egypt because of money issues. You know, like there's a quote that I love, like, I need money to live, but I don't live for money. It's not good to live for money, but the truth is we do need money to live. So when we're making our goals and our objectives, we should separate our goals. Financial goals is needed, but spiritual goals, physical goals, etc., family goals, we must balance them out. So in Egypt, I was just on my spiritual goals, but I wasn't earning any money, I was just spending money. And then I come to a stage where I was running out of money, and I didn't know how to make more in Egypt. The money is so weak. So I came back to England in hope to save and save and save and go back one day. But it was hard. And then wanting to get married, it's very hard. Dowries these days that women ask for are just ridiculous sometimes. And not even them, their fathers. What job? What education? I remember in Egypt, it was just like, what certificate? What's your major? What's your degree? And the things like what it seemed like what the companions and the Sahabas made important, we didn't find important. But we had new things. What they didn't find important, we made important. And I just couldn't. So I went back to England. And I was in England for long. And I remember I found myself getting lost back in my UK cycle. And I wanted to get away again. But I knew I couldn't afford to just go to Egypt, do a year, come back. Kuwait, I met a brother when I was in Holland. I was touring with Napoleon, Mutar Bill. And we was talking backstage and he was saying, man, you got to get out of the UK, man. It's fitna, akhi. He's like, I'm in Saudi now. You got to try and get out to Saudi or something, or let the brothers hook you up. And I said, I would love that. There's a brother there from Kuwait. And he said, no, not Saudi. Come to Kuwait. Come to Kuwait. And I took his details. And then I lost touch with him 7 months later. But you know, you got to make effort. I still went. I booked my flight, my ticket, and I went there, not knowing anyone. Alhamdulillah, Allah made me meet someone the first day who knew the brother who I was coming to meet, and he helped me find a flat, and he introduced me to a teacher, and I found that I made a whole family there in Kuwait. So I went there to just try it out initially, but it's beautiful. I did like it there because there's not so much happening like Egypt. It's very simple, it's very small, and it's not too excited. It's not too exciting. They've got that Arabic culture where you go to the desert regular and we sit and do talks. And there's lectures every day. You can get close to the people of knowledge and they do lectures every day. Whereas it's more limited in like Egypt and Saudi to just anyone can't just speak. So alhamdulillah, this was beneficial for me. And yeah, and there's a way there you can earn money. You can get jobs there and earn money. So you don't have to keep traveling back and forth. So that's why I kind of selected there. Alhamdulillah. So that's the end of my questions. Thank you very much. I come from London, where it's always cold. It's always raining. I'm going to start off with a piece. It goes like this. You see, it's cold outside. I got my coat on. My mommy looked in my eyes and told me, hold on. She said, there's danger down the road that I walk on. And those who walked on it before, now they're all gone. They're either locked in a cage or down in the grave. This is the outcome from the choices we made. Alhamdulillah, Rafil, I've been saved. Alhamdulillah, Rafil, I've been saved. Alhamdulillah, Rafil, I've been saved. Alhamdulillah, that's why I'm here today. You see, Jamaica is my background. London is my birthplace. I ask myself, why didn't they teach me about the religion of Islam in the first place? See, I was on the verge of walking around my streets of London with a screw face. Now I say it's a good thing. I was never too cool to read the first page. Yeah, Jamaica is my background. London is my birthplace. I ask myself, why didn't they teach me about my purpose in this life in the first place? See, I was on the verge of walking around my streets of London with a screw face. Now I say it's a good thing. I was never too cool to read the first page. See, I remember Coming home late from the parties, intoxicated with champagne. I didn't really have love for anybody, I was a bad boy with a bad name. And now I get paid to tell my story, alhamdulillah, I came a long way. From the streets to Islam, now salam is what we say. And the day after took my shahada, subhanallah, that was a Friday. The brothers picked me up to take me to Jummah. We got there late and they started to pray. He whispered to me, follow my lead. I didn't understand the word that they say. And I thought he was confused like me till he opened his mouth and he said, Ameen. Then he raised his hands and he went to his knees and he raised back up. Then we went to the floor. Then we raised back up and we went to the floor. Now this was confusing me for sure. But I didn't give up. Now I understand. And looking at a proud Muslim man. And I want to go and live in a Muslim land. Take a Muslim wife hat by a Muslim man. And have some Muslim kids. I got Muslim plans. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim man. But sometimes I think when my sky turns black, my future starts to fade, and all I have is what I see in front of me today. Cause this could be my last hour, that's the reality. I worry about tomorrow when I meet him and he greets me. I was a black boy lost till the age of 19. I picked up my first book, I'm inspired now to read. I always had an image of a bad boy in the street, but always had a crazy love for Allah inside of me. Now what's the truth for the life of this world? I was sitting there asking myself, cause I could get the money or the girls quite easy. I could be a superstar always seen on TV, but will it make me happy? Will it make me smile? Will it last forever or just a short while? What happens after the nightclubs, after all the raves, after all the fame when your name starts to fade? After old age when the bone starts to fray, what happens after the church or the mosque or the grave? They say the topic of death is depressing. I say it depends on the brother and the vision. Cause after these years we're surviving in a prison. I pray there's a life waiting for us in the heaven. Imagine a land of justice and perfection. No more police, poverty or politician. After being in these streets, victim of the system, we're finally free, running around like the children. And this could all be, but I know it won't be easy. They say one from every thousand, I just want that one to be me. Living in a land of no rain, always good weather. I'm prepared to stop partying today so I could party there forever. But they don't see the vision like I see it. They're caught up in this life, lost, so be it. I just want to chill with a wife and a Moroccan mint tea. Visualizing paradise, that's where we want to be. But sometimes it feels like I've got this dunya on my shoulders. The young brothers say they can't rely upon the olders. So they're coming to me with all the questions. MB, what can I do about my unlawful obsessions? And I'll be like, wow. How did I end up here? It's funny how life could turn around within some years. The other day I was hustling, dropping off a sample. And I had to say, you're setting an example. I'm dealing with a handful of sins trimmed down from a mountain. Looking at my past life, the gang I rode around in. While I'm sipping at the Zamzam fountain. With my ihram around my aura, around my brown skin. Alhamdulillah. I came from the streets to Islam, the ghetto. Now when I see my brother give a palm. Embrace with a hug and greeting with salam, salam alaikum. Sorry. This next piece I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do something. What should I do? Something new about the sisters that I was thinking of about a year ago. Well, a year is new to me. Nothing personal, but seeing as the sisters always outdo the men in these events, so I might as well. Bismillah. Make up on the spot? No. I do it initially, but then I remember it and do it now. So, sister, as in the earlier section, I ended with the brother. We want for me, we want for yourself. Do you remember that? Brother, do you pray like give me strength and help? Brother, would you gossip about me like I'm a star? Brother, do you love me? Fi sabilillah. So this one's for the sisters. This goes like this. Sister, I can't even see your face. Sister, I can't even hear your voice. Sister, I can't even smell your scent. You must be the one Allah sent. Pious sister, I can't even see your face. Sister, I can't even hear your voice. Sister, I can't even smell your scent. She must be the one Allah sent. Pious sister, walking in a black veil, talking in a low voice. She ain't got no smell, she don't wanna see no boys. She gets embarrassed when she's out there in the public. Her beauty is amazing, but she don't want it public. She wears flats cause the heels bring attention. She must be the one my books used to mention. And she don't wear makeup, she's HD clear. And her eyebrows haven't been threaded in a year. A head full of knowledge and a heart full of fear. Eyes full of love and her hands full of care. Loose are the garments that she likes to wear. She could have a good body, but she wants to prevent the stares. I like the way she gets embarrassed when I recite a verse. The way she wears her abaya with the Converse. She ain't the type to let her husband go to sleep stressful, cause she don't wanna get cursed by the angels. Sister, I can't even see your face. Sister, I can't even hear your voice. Sister, I can't even smell your scent. You must be the one Allah sent. Pious sister, I can't even smell your face. Sister, I can't even hear your voice. Sister, I can't even smell your scent. You must be the one Allah sent. Yeah, I'd love to tie the knot like a Boy Scout. You know what I'm talking about. Complete half my deen, then I'll be walking out. With my queen, a wife, veiled up. Covered from head to toe, that's how I like mine veiled up. That's mine, brothers, it's not for your eyes. Only need that one wife that follows God's way of life. And I would love to give her about 17 children, 10 boys, 7 girls, and feed all of them. And I'ma raise all my boys to be soldiers, my girls to be wives, I'm not following my orders, nah. I wanna live in a household of love. When daddy comes home, little girls run and give a hug. When it's time to pray, replace all the rugs and the mats and call the whole family to come and pray Salat. Brother stand at the front, sister stand at the back, whole family praying together, now how real is that? After the prayer, recite Quran, take it in turns, then we could talk about school today. What did you learn? The young kids go and play, the wife's cooking some food. With the oldest of my daughters in there helping too. With the oldest of the sons outside with me up on the roof going through some Quran and Hadiths. I'm in a bit of football. I'm just trying to paint the picture, the family structure. Now Islam's in my life, it's so much better. I can't even see your face. It's the, you know that bit. Bismillah. I'm going to end on one last piece. And this piece is the first piece I ever done. When years ago, a brother asked me to do something to raise money for Palestine. And he said that we're going to pull it on like a CD. And this is when I first stopped doing music. So he said, just do something and it'll go on the CD and the sales of the CD will send the money to Palestine. So I said, what should I do? And he goes, something about Philistine, like, I don't know. So I typed in on YouTube, Philistine or Palestine, what's happening? I can't remember. But I remember finding this YouTube clip of a little girl. She was about 9 years old and she was crying, Philistine, yeah, it's me, Philistine. Crying about she is Palestine and what's happening. And it was about the situation there. And the girl inspired me to do this small poem. And I'll just end with this. My little brother's getting stuck up. My little sister's getting knocked up, my aunties and my uncles getting locked up, Shaheeds are getting wrapped up. And I'm still in my room watching my plasma TV like nothing's up. One ummah, one body. When one part feels the pain spreads and it's supposed to affect everybody. But I don't see anybody doing anything but marching and screaming and voting for somebody that ain't helping nobody. When does the game stop? I make dua when the rain drops. My brother's in Philistine watching the flames drop. This ain't peace, this is on top until we get serious, it won't stop. And serious times coming soon. But I'm still in my room, I'm still in my room. Serious times coming soon. I need to leave this room, leave this room. I'm sitting in the park where the kids go play until it's dark. There's nobody around, I hear the sounds from the cars as they pass. I see a man and his wife linking arms, talk and laugh. They're smiling now, but how long will this last? In the world that we live in, where everyone likes receiving, but no one likes giving. I'm sitting there this evening, really stressing out, trying to find an excuse, trying to figure out what could be the reason, what's it all about? Is it just the killing season, why the guns are out? Pow, 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 she heard the shots fired. Pow, 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 her brother just died. Pow, 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 now this little girl cries. Pow, 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 in Palestine. Pow, 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 she heard the shots fired. Pow, 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 her brother just died. Pow, 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 now this little girl cries. Pow, 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 in Palestine. See, I need money to live, but I don't live for money. I sleep okay, it's not a day I go hungry. Should I be happy with my life? What about the other side? I understand, so a smile less than a cry more. And I got a lot going on in these eyeballs. And I don't tear very easy, but I know there's more than a show on the TV going on here in our world. Those little girls are my little girls, and those little boys are my little boys. The least I can do is make some noise. And I don't do it for the limelight from the people, but the north from Allah. Only try to help the people so I can get help from Allah. Show mercy to the people because I need mercy from Allah. How can I not forgive the people and ask forgiveness from Allah? But we became a people who's forgotten who we are. They say, Bilal, man, you could have been a star. Who cares? Look at them over there and look at what they're going through. How can I sit here and just smile and enjoy my food? And that's it from me to you. Jazakallah khair. Khalas.